Some time ago, I gave a sermonette on the Sermon on the Mount. And I happened at that time to cover 12 verses. And I promised to return. And here I am. It's been a while, but here I am. We're back to the Sermon on the Mount, which some say is the most beautiful sermon that Jesus ever gave. And he sure gave us everything we need in those words. He showed us how much we need his word and him and the Father. We stopped in verse 12. And now we're going to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. And in this verse, Jesus is saying, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be salted? It is then no good. It is good for nothing, just to be cast out and be trodden under the feet of men." Salt, such a very important ingredient. When we apply it to the food, we know what a great flavor it gives the food. And we know how bland the food tastes if we don't put salt in it. To be told that we are the salt of the earth, you know, what a great honor that is. What a great honor. We're the salt of the earth. We are to pass on that flavor to the rest of the world. And Jesus has given us that great job. That job of such great importance. And we have to protect and to uphold it. Given to us by our Lord, we must protect and uphold it. We must not allow anyone to come between us and the word and the work that he has given us to complete. And we must remember it cannot be replaced. No matter what we do, it cannot be replaced. There's nothing more important. There's nothing greater than the work of God. We have to stick to it. And we have to decide whether we do so in an honorable or dishonorable way, because we want the best at the end. In Genesis, the first chapter and the 28th verse, it says, "And God blessed them," Adam and Eve, his children who he had made, "and he said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the air, the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." This gives us again an example of the magnitude, the greatness, the honor that was bestowed on man. But after God had made everything, he said to us, "Take care of it. Make sure it remains that way." In verse 14, Matthew 5 and verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Such very important the ingredients that he has bestowed on us. First salt and then light. Who can live without light? Who can see? Who can know where to turn, left or right, without light? So we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And we have to live a certain type of life to show that we are in compliance with this, with what God has told us to do. And in Ephesians, the 5th chapter and verse 7, it says, "Be not therefore partakers with them," that is them who are not doing what God says, "for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." We came from the darkness, we have come to light. That's a tremendous step up. We are in the light, so now we must walk as children of light. Verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. If we possess the fruit of the Spirit, then we have to show that we possess it by practicing the things that that Spirit imparts to us. So it is goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We don't have to prove it ourselves. The fruit of the Spirit proves that to us and shows us how we should behave, how we should act, what we should do, who we should associate with. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We must reprove them. Now, our Lord was the greatest light. He came and he shone so brightly, he was never afraid to shine. He showed everyone what he was there for. He was a man. He came as a man and he showed everyone what he was here for. And he set the example. And we must now follow. We were created for this reason. We must remember, keep it in mind. Never be afraid to show what's in our heart. And what's in our heart must be God's truth. He set us on the hill. Isn't that what he said? He said, we cannot be hid because we set on a hill. And we must not be afraid to shine. We must prevail. We must prevail in the truth of God and follow through with the things that he has given us to do. Verse 15, Matthew 5 and verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Same principle. Same principle. You're a light. And in a house, you don't want to be putting your light under a bushel. What good is it then? No one can see the light. The light is being blocked out. James, the first chapter and verse 6 says, he's talking about a man who is looking to the Lord for what he needs. And he's saying, do not do it with fear. With fear, with godly fear, yes, but do not do it as though you're uncertain of what you're doing. You must know what you're doing and do it with confidence. He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. In verse 7 he said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have no right to expect to be taken care of if we are not doing what we're supposed to do. The Lord understands weakness. He understands when we fall short, and he will help us at that time. But when we deliberately turn away from what we are supposed to do, don't look to the Lord. You have to learn first. Learn to do the right thing before you can expect to be blessed by the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we should not be afraid to shine and be seen. That's what we were created for. That's why we were called at the time that we have been called. And we have to shine. We have to show. And we have to do right. Even when ill at ease. There are times when you're uneasy. You feel if I do right, I'll be talked about. I'll be treated badly. I'll be shunned. But with God's work and with the help of God's Spirit, we must overcome all that. Do the right thing. Show what we believe. And what we show will make others believe as well. And eventually all believers will profit. Because this is our job, this is our work, and this is what we have been called to do at this time. In verse 5, in Matthew 5, in verse 16, it says, "Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And it is such a great feeling after you have gone through a situation where you have to give a little to show that belief in God and to do the right thing. And you feel so good after. Look at Daniel, the first chapter, Daniel 1 and verse 5. This is an example of doing what you're supposed to do even when it hurts. Don't be afraid. Do it. Daniel 1 and verse 5. "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat." And this is referring to Daniel and his companions when they were taken by Nebuchadnezzar the king. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to do exactly like his people were doing. And they were Hebrews, they were brought up doing the right thing, and they refused to do the pagan practices that Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom practiced. And yet, in refusing, they did it with a respect. He was the king. They did it with a respect. "I'm not going to do that." No, they did it with a respect. And he appealed to the king in a very decent way, not to the king, but to one of his officials. And he was met with great favor. "So the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." The king felt, okay, this was the practice whenever they took people from different nations, they conquered, they picked the best out of it, or what they thought was the best. I guess the ones who looked the best, the ones who they thought were the most intelligent, they took them and trained them for key positions. And he's thinking that, okay, we do this for 3 years. After 3 years, they'll be in good shape. And we'll have addition to the rank. In verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, not with the wine which he drank, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." We know the story. We know what happened. Daniel was favored, and he was understood by that eunuch. That eunuch turned out to respect him. And Daniel suggested something that they can try his way, and they went along with it. And as you know, they were more healthy than the king's men. They were more healthy, they looked better, they felt better. Therefore, proven to the eunuch and the king that God's way was the better way, that Daniel's way, the way that he grew up understanding and knowing, was the better way. And we must do this before all types of men. We must not be afraid. We have to show them this is what we're made of, this is what we believe, and we will not bend, we will not do the wrong thing, but again, respectfully, showing them the respect and the office that they hold. And by doing this, and by doing it this way, which is God's way, God will be glorified. What do you think those people at the time said when they saw these guys? They actually refused to do what the king said, and they still came out on top. What do you think the people felt? The people, oh, these guys must have a great God. That God has been protecting them. So we must not be afraid. We have to do what we know is right and what we know we should be doing. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Matthew 5 and verse 17. The law, the thing that we have so much arguments about, and everyone thinks that they know best. Jesus said, don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. Some people say that by fulfill, he meant that when he came, the law was done away with. They claim it was nailed to the cross, all different things that they said. But the language is plain. He said he didn't come to destroy. He did not come to remove. He didn't come to change. He came to fulfill. Colossians 2nd chapter verse 16. It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath. Paul had explained all along the sacrifice of Jesus, that he came, sacrificed himself for us, the things that he did to make it possible for us to continue to hold on to the law, to continue to do the things that he said we should be doing. So Paul is saying, now don't forget this. He said, all these things he did, let it not be in vain. Let no man therefore come and judge you about what you eat or drink, or your holy days or your Sabbath. You show them that, ignore them and you do what you're supposed to be doing. In verse 17, he says, these are just a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. The real thing that we're working for, the real thing that we're working toward is Christ. And we have to do what he said. And he said he didn't come to change. He came to fulfill, to make it stronger. When he came, he did destroy something. Or he did come to destroy something. He came to destroy sin, not his father's law. And he came to create fulfillment of God's love, his peace, and tranquility in the earth. In verse 18, he says, for most certainly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not even one smallest letter or one tiny pen stroke shall in any way pass away from the law until all things are accomplished. He's strengthening what he said before. I didn't come to change. I came to strengthen. He said nothing will change. Not the smallest letter or one tiny pen stroke until all things are accomplished. Just as God wrote it in his word, it has to happen that way before anything else. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. And here we believe it's Paul. Some people say Paul didn't write Hebrews, but we believe it's Paul. He said, remember them which have rule over you. And the rule he's talking about here is not politics, at least not the politics of man. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. He's saying, remember these men. They taught us, and we could have found no fault with them. We kept them unto the end, and they were faithful to the end until they died, the end of the conversation, which is what that means. Remember them. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It does not change. So that means that without a doubt, that's the way it is. We don't have to worry. We can keep our days and our Sabbaths and all the things the Lord says that we can. And we're looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth. And the law shall remain until God's plan of salvation is fulfilled. We have no doubt of that. We have no need to fear. Verse 19. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach others to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Plain language. Do not break the commandments. Do it the way God said to do it. And a backup scripture, Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Which one are we looking for? We're looking for eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we must remember that the least commandment is to be respected. That's what Christ is saying in his sermon. The least commandment is to be respected. And sometimes the principle of the least good is similar to the principle of sin. Some people, oh, it's a little sin. God doesn't know a little sin. God hates sin. And when sin rears its head, he sees sin. So it's the same with the commandments. The least commandment that you should break, you displease God. And bear that in mind very, very carefully. And we'll be highly favored for keeping the law of God. We'll continue, I promise, we'll continue with the Sermon on the Mount in the future. I will try to do a little bit at a time. I'll copy Mr. Morris with the Psalms. And kids, take it to heart and enjoy your day.